Today on Real Radio.
Is there a room in your soul, in the soul of your home, as it were, is there a room that God's not allowed in? God, you can have a key. You have a key to the whole house. But you can't go in this room. He's Lord. And he's Lord of your house.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that examines and applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. One of the more difficult disciplines in the life of the believer is learning how to handle what he's been given by his Creator. In other words, it isn't so much gaining the wealth or notoriety or even assets like wisdom, as much as it is how to use these gifts for our Lord's glory. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called The Discipline of Distinction.
We have to be careful because our emotions will seek to override the will of God. Our flesh will begin to dominate our lives, and we will shop or customize the situation to meet what we want emotionally. We'll be making emotionally based decisions. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but that way ends in death. Boy, is that not true? Romans chapter 8, verse 5. You'll hear a lot from the book of Romans tonight because it deals with this very thing. Romans 8, 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. They're always thinking just fleshly things. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, that is the mind of this world, the unregenerate mind, is enmity. That word means is at warfare against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm living in the flesh, and deal with it, Pastor. No, I don't have to deal with it. It's your life that you're messing up. It's your life you're destroying, and the people who live in your immediate vicinity. But if you're going to say, no, I'm going to live as I please, and I'm going to call myself a Christian. The Bible says that you're deceiving yourself, and that the truth is not in you. I know that's a strong word, but listen, you're dominating yourself and your passions of the flesh, that lust. And then number two, look at this, refusing what we see with our eyes. In 1 John 2:16, he goes on and says that it's the lust of the eyes. It's the lust of the eyes. Notice the progression of that. He says it's the lust of the flesh, what we feel. If it feels good, do it, says the world. And then number two, it is the lust of the eyes. Ooh, it's funny. When we see stuff, it comes into our eyes and then it goes out of our mouth. Look, oh, right? And you all know that your eyes and your ears are gateways. What we hear is so powerful. I can totally derail you right now from what you're paying attention to right now. I could say right now, the music you listen to today, instantly something will come to your mind about what it was. You'll hear one of the songs out of the entire day that was in your head, boom, right there. Or what did you see today that was awesome? Oh. What did you see today you shouldn't have seen? Oh, they're gateways into the soul, what we hear, what we see. The warning that John gives is we've got a situation when we have to battle what is dominating in our flesh, and one of those things is the eye gate, what we see. Job 31:1. This is the oldest book in the Bible. Job 31:1. Listen to this. Say, man, what can we learn from an old guy that old? Well, I tell you what. Let me read verse 31:1. He says, I've made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Smart guy, huh? Now, I'm not saying do this. You'll get arrested. I just made it up in my mind just now what I'm about to say. That's pretty scary. But imagine if you had a bunch of stickers like that and you just walked around liquor stores and slapped those things on those porno magazines that are at liquor stores. Right on the cover. Boom! I've made a covenant with my eyes not to look upon a young woman. Imagine that. Imagine if Christian men began to take that verse seriously and say, Lord, I am consecrated to you, and I'm making a covenant tonight with my eyes, God, not to look upon, you know, the implication is to look upon a woman with a lust. Not going to do it. Going to turn my eyes away. I got to tell you this. I was at the car wash over here, and there was a young lady sitting there, and she was all wrapped up in her hijab. All you could see is her face. This young Muslim girl, and I've been challenging my wife and encouraging my wife for a long time. Lisa, you gotta start talking to those girls and start finding out what's going on inside their head. They're locked inside their world. You gotta reach out to them. So that thought came to my mind. Now, I know the rules. They're not supposed to talk to men. But that's their rule and not my rule. So I said, excuse me. She said, yes. I said, can you explain this to me? I want to hear from you what this means. And she said, it's an act of modesty. It's a display of modesty. And I said, that's cool. That's excellent. So, as you display your modesty by wearing this fashion, I think that's commendable. What effect do you think it has? Oh, it keeps a man from having lustful thoughts. She said this. It keeps a man from having lustful thoughts. And I said, with all due respect, I'm old enough to be your dad. So with what I'm about to say, just remember that. Miss, you can go out into the parking lot right now and we could build, or somebody could build a concrete wall around you and just leave enough air in the concrete for you to breathe in. And if somebody hung a sign outside that said, woman inside, a man would go, really? In there? I told her this. And I said, the reason why is because I really respect your display of modesty, but that doesn't affect a man's imagination. His heart is wicked, and his heart needs to be changed. And she listened to me. She just listened. And I said, what if instead of the burden being on you to drape yourself up, what if the burden was on the man for him to turn his eyes away? And you know what she said? She said, no man would do that. No man can do that. Think of that for a moment. No man can do that, or no woman can do that without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. To love God more is the point for tonight. It's not thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It's thou gets to's. Thou gets to's, thou gets to, thou gets to. You get to. Not by religion, but by your relationship with Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 4:8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. This should be on daytime TV. Whatever things are good report. If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Why? Because what you meditate on becomes part of your very being. Listen, you young people, right now you're going through this experiment with life. The more that you are immersed in something, it begins to come out of you, even if you don't like it, and it will still come out. Because what you meditate on will marinate you. You'll be pickled. And whatever you're soaked in, you'll be pickled in that thing. Birds of a feather. Okay? Listen, the reason why we say that and we know that is because that's a common thing. Oh, look, there goes some seagulls. You don't see seagulls with robins and storks and eagles. They're not sitting there on the wire. You ever see them on the wire talking? Hey. They don't do that. It's all seagulls, or they're all pigeons, or they're all pelicans. Whatever you hang out with, whoever you hang out with, that sense of meditation gets into you, and it's going to come out of you. So watch out. What you see is what he's talking about. The domination of the flesh, we have to watch our eyes. Thirdly, under this point, it's this. We want to be refusing what we want for our lives. Can you believe I said that? Refusing what we want for our lives. You say, what do you mean? Are you trying to make like a monk out of me? Are you trying to make me climb some tower and sit in some monastery? What are you talking about, Pastor? Are you crazy? Refuse what we want or what I want for myself? Well, here's the truth of the matter. If we're just honest, so much of what we thought we really wanted turned out to be a ginormous danger. Especially when you hear things like, if I don't get that thing, I'm just going to die. Oh, dear. Could be an idol, you think? I can't live without that thing. Or I can't live without her. I can't live without him. If I don't have a, what? Fill in the blank. It's an idol. We put it up on a pedestal. We would never confess that, but it's true. It's the meaning, the purpose. It governs the decisions of my life. Or maybe it's a person. Refusing what we want. So what's the answer to this then? Taking our lives, and let's be honest, those whose lives are around us, those who we know. This is the great thing about being a Christian. You can go to your prayer closet and talk to God alone and involve your entire family. You can involve your entire company, your entire neighborhood. When you go to pray, you can involve your entire school. And when you begin to invite God into these things, I tell you what, he begins to calm your heart and he will let you know what you need. It's very liberating. The Bible calls this self-denial, to deny yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. Pick up your cross, he said, and follow me. To deny yourself. It's not a negative. How can something be a negative when it draws you closer to God? You say, well, I don't know if I like what you're saying right now. Because something of the flesh is dominating your life in that area. Is there a room in your soul, in the soul of your home, as it were, is there a room that God's not allowed in? God, you can have a key. You have a key to the whole house. But you can't go in this room. He's Lord. And he's Lord of your house. He's the Lord. If you tonight say, well, I'm a Christian, Jesus says, right on. Then I have the key to every room in your house. You have to hand him the key, or else you can't call him Lord. The domination of the flesh will try to derail us from what God wants to do in our lives. It's human nature to want, for example, satisfaction. That's human nature. Thirst needs to be satisfied. Hunger, comfort, warmth, affection. Those are things that God has placed in us. But listen, it's a very different thing to want satisfaction that comes at the expense of other people. Or satisfaction we think by things. 1 John 2:16, now at the end, number three, it's this: the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The pride. This pride is the pride of wanting. The word in the Greek means wanting something to brag about. It means to exalt yourself or to boast about yourself. The Bible says, let another man's lips praise you. What does that mean? That means if other people want to talk about you favorably, praise God. If you want to talk about yourself favorably, weirdo. You know, somebody would say, well, it's enough about this conversation. Let's talk about me for a while. That is sick, man. You say, well, I've never met anybody like that. Well, how about this? Somebody comes walking up into your group and says, man, I just found a dollar in the parking lot. And the next thing out of your mouth is, oh, yeah, I found 50 bucks the other day. What are you saying that for? Number one, we don't care if you found 50 bucks. This guy came, he's all stoked about finding a dollar. Let him enjoy his dollar, will you? But no, the flesh says, hey. So the guy, you know, his team wins the softball game. We won the softball game. Yeah, well, you know what? We won three games last week. Everybody in the group goes, in their mind, they don't say it out loud. They go, weirdo. What is with that pride? Just got to one-up somebody. Pride. Why would somebody do that? Insecure. Why would somebody be insecure? Not trusting God. Why would someone not trust God? They're not believing in his word. Well, what does his word say? That he loves that man. He loves that woman. If you believe that God loves you, you don't have to go around talking about yourself. You're content. You say, well, I don't like me. Why don't you like you? I'm so ugly. You don't like you because you're ugly. I make myself sick. I can't stand myself. Why? I'm so dumb. If you think about the logic of that, you should be very happy then with yourself that you're so ugly because you can't stand yourself. Gosh, I'm so happy. I'm just the dumbest person I've ever met. And that pleases me because I can't stand myself. It just doesn't work. Pride gets us into trouble, all of us. And you know we all battle this. You ever seen a group picture?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio, demonstrating from Scripture that we believers are God's vessels for God's glory. It's a presentation called The Discipline of Distinction, part of Pastor Jack's Disciplines of Life series, of which we'll hear more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, the Disciplines of Life series was delivered by Pastor Jack on Wednesday nights and concluded earlier this year. And in light of that, we bring to you this invitation.
This is David J. with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel of Chino Hills. And there's something real exciting going on Wednesday nights around here. Pastor Jack, I was just pulling into the parking lot here at the church to get together with you, and I noticed a big vinyl sign on the side of the building. It said, it had a hot button word on the sign. It said Worldview. Tell me what's going on around here.
It's the Worldview series. That's what's out there, and that's what's happening here at Calvary right now on Wednesday nights. And we've had our first gathering together on the topic, Introduction to the Worldview series, and frankly, it went extremely well. We saw people, in fact, first-time visitors from the local university, and they couldn't believe what they were hearing. And that's exactly what we want to achieve.
Well, worldview is kind of a buzzword, isn't it? It's a popular word that carries a whole lot of meaning, especially for Christians. Tell me about the Wednesday night series here at Calvary Chino Hills.
Worldview series, the term worldview has gotten very popular in the church in the last 5 to 7 years, because what it means is the word is rooted actually in the Germanic language. It means to look at your world around you, to observe and to conclude or to establish a life or a decision based upon the world you live in. Worldview means that you conduct yourself, you think in such a way, and you act out your life based upon what and how you view the world around you.
All right, I'm going to cheat a little bit because as you and I were chatting before we fired up the microphones, you were saying that we as Christians need to understand that we need to make our decisions using the Bible as our filter, if you will.
Yeah, there's a temptation, and I think it has reached, in my opinion, epidemic proportions in the church today where people will bifurcate their lives. What I mean by that is they'll go to church on Sunday. Right. It's all Jesus. Yeah. It's all God. It's wonderful for an hour and a half.
Right.
But come Sunday afternoon or Monday morning or Thursday night, there is this division. Far too many people today think that they can be following Jesus for an hour and a half a week, right, and leave him out the rest of their days and the rest of their life. And that's not the case. To have a biblical worldview is to include the doctrines of the Bible, the teachings of the Bible, the Holy Spirit who's at work in your life in every moment of your life, that he wants to be the Lord of all.
Okay, so for example, with our presidential election going on right now, the first thought in my mind is, what do I think? But what you're saying as a Christian that I should be thinking, what does the Bible say about my thinking or the way I should be thinking?
Exactly. There is no such division in the Christian's life that there's some area that is sacred or secular. Not for the Christian.
I see.
The Christian is to be engaged in all aspects of life because, for example, a politician might declare that abortion is a political issue.
Right.
Well, my Bible teaches me it's a spiritual issue.
I get it.
A politician might declare that marriage now is a political issue. No, no, no. My Bible says that that is a spiritual issue. All of these things affect three things. Number one, it affects the political, it affects the moral,
right,
and it affects the religious aspects of our lives. The Christian is to live his Christianity out in all areas. You know, Paul made that very clear in Acts chapter 17 when he came to Athens, Greece,
right, uh-huh,
recognized that the Greeks were worshiping all these gods that they knew of, but they had a pedestal set up to the unknown God. And Paul used that opportunity to insert there to the way that the Athenians thought that this God that you've missed is the God who is inserting his life. In fact, in verse 28, he says that it is this God in whom we live, we move, and have our being. This is the total encasement of the Christian life by the Word of God, the Bible, the activity and works of the Holy Spirit, engaging the culture through the believer. That's the moment that you and I are alive, David. That's what God would have us to do.
Look, I raise my hand to plead guilty, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do too. I don't necessarily default to a Christian worldview consciously or subconsciously for that matter. And in this series, what you're saying is, let's get to that point where we govern our lives with the biblical worldview.
You got it. There should be no area in which the Christian, frankly, would be ignorant about.
Pastor Jack, I've seen you excited in the past. You're excited about this, aren't you?
I'm excited about this because I love practical Christianity.
Right, right.
And so because of that, this series, you know, Davey, I tell you, four young men came up to me in the courtyard just the other night. After the teaching, they're on a class project. They came to interview the pastor of some church, whatever church they could find that's close to the house, they would go. Well, lo and behold, the topic in the event, the evening, so challenged their way of thinking that, frankly, we stood out in the courtyard and talked for a good period of time. They were dumbfounded that Christianity could be this practical. And I love that.
I love that too, Pastor Jack. And you and our listening audience, you're going to love it too. So here's the deal. Here's the invitation for you. We would love to have you join us for this life-changing worldview series, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific. Join us on the web for the live broadcast on hischannel.com. That's 7 o'clock Pacific, Wednesday nights on hischannel.com. You can also watch the series at your own pace at our website, calvaryCCH.org. Click on Media and then on the Media Center. So there you have it. We'd be honored if you'd join us on the web for the live teaching at hischannel.com, Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock Pacific. Or catch the Worldview series when you can at calvaryCCH.org. Don't miss it. That's calvaryCCH.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.